Chapter 16. And lusterless eyes. I should ask that question. How did you get here?
Through the door, replied the figure.
What are you? Says the Baron.
A man, replied the figure.
I don't believe it, says the Baron.
Disbelieve it then, says the figure.
I will, rejoined the Baron. The figure looked at the bold Baron of Grogzwick for some time, and then said familiarly, there's no coming over you, I see.
I'm not a man.
What are you then? Asked the Baron.
A genius, replied the figure.
You don't look much like one, returned the Baron scornfully.
I am the genius of despair and suicide, said the apparition.
Now you know me. With these words the apparition turned towards the Baron, as if composing himself for a talk, and, what was very remarkable, was, that he threw his cloak aside, and displaying a stake, which was run through the center of his body, pulled it out with a jerk, and laid it on the table, as composedly as if it had been a walking stick.
Now, said the figure, glancing at the hunting knife, are you ready for me?
Not quite, rejoined the Baron. I must finish this pipe first.
Look sharp then, said the figure.
You seem in a hurry, said the Baron.
Why, yes, I am, answered the figure. They're doing a pretty brisk business in my way, over in England and France just now, and my time is a good deal taken up.
Do you drink? Said the Baron, touching the bottle with the bowl of his pipe.
9 times out of 10, and then very hard, rejoined the figure, dryly.
Never in moderation? Asked the Baron.
Never, replied the figure, with a shudder that breeds cheerfulness.
The Baron took another look at his new friend, whom he thought an uncommonly queer customer, and at length inquired whether he took any active part in such little proceedings as that which he had in contemplation.
No, replied the figure evasively, but I am always present.
Just to see fair, I suppose? Said the Baron.
Just that, replied the figure, playing with his stake, and examining the ferrule.
Be as quick as you can, will you, for there's a young gentleman who is afflicted with too much money and leisure wanting me now, I find.
Going to kill himself, because he has too much money,
exclaimed the Baron, quite tickled.
Ha! Ha! That's a good one.
This was the first time the Baron had laughed for many a long day.
I say, expostulated the figure, looking very much scared. Don't do that again.
Why not?
Demanded the Baron.
Because it gives me pain all over, replied the figure.
Sigh as much as you please.
That does me good.
The Baron sighed mechanically at the mention of the word.
The figure, brightening up again, handed him the hunting knife with most winning politeness.
It's not a bad idea though, said the Baron, feeling the edge of the weapon.
A man killing himself, because he has too much money.
Pooh! Said the apparition, petulantly, no better than a man's killing himself, because he has none or little.
Whether the genius unintentionally committed himself in saying this, or whether he thought the Baron's mind was so thoroughly made up that it didn't matter what he said, I have no means of knowing.
I only know that the Baron stopped his hand, all of a sudden, opened his eyes wide, and looked as if quite a new light had come upon him for the first time.
Why, certainly, said Von Kieltwithout, nothing is too bad to be retrieved.
Except empty coffers, cried the genius.
Well, but they may be one day filled again, said the Baron.
Scolding wives, snarled the genius.
Oh, they may be made quiet, said the Baron.
13 children, shouted the genius.
Can't all go wrong, surely, said the Baron.
The genius was evidently growing very savage with the Baron, for holding these opinions all at once, but he tried to laugh it off, and said if he would let him know when he had left off joking he should feel obliged to him.
But I am not joking, I was never farther from it, remonstrated the Baron.
Well, I am glad to hear that, said the genius, looking very grim, because a joke, without any figure of speech, is the death of me.
Come. Quit this dreary world at once.
I don't know, said the Baron, playing with the knife. It's a dreary one, certainly, but I don't think yours is much better, for you have not the appearance of being particularly comfortable. That puts me in mind what security have I, that I shall be any the better for going out of the world after all, he cried, starting up. I never thought of that. Dispatch, cried the figure, gnashing his teeth. Keep off, said the Baron. I'll brood over miseries no longer, but put a good face on the matter, and try the fresh air and the bears again. And if that don't do, I'll talk to the Baroness soundly, and cut the von Swillenhausen's dead. Apostrophe with this the Baron fell into his chair, and laughed so loud and boisterously, that the room rang with it. The figure fell back a pace or two, regarding the Baron meanwhile with a look of intense terror, and when he had ceased, caught up the stake, plunged it violently into its body, uttered a frightful howl, and disappeared. Von Kieldwithout never saw it again. Having once made up his mind to action, he soon brought the Baroness and the von Swillenhausens to reason, and died many years afterwards. Not a rich man, that I am aware of, but certainly a happy one. Leaving behind him a numerous family, who had been carefully educated in bear and boar hunting under his own personal eye. And my advice to all men is, that if ever they become hipped and melancholy from similar causes as very many men do, they look at both sides of the question, applying a magnifying glass to the best one, and if they still feel tempted to retire without leave, that they smoke a large pipe, and drink a full bottle first, and profit by the laudable example of the Baron of Grogzwig. Apostrophe, the fresh coach is ready, ladies and gentlemen, if you please, apostrophe said a new driver, looking in. This intelligence caused the punch to be finished in a great hurry, and prevented any discussion relative to the last story. Mr. Squeers was observed to draw the gray-headed gentleman on one side, and to ask a question with great apparent interest. It bore reference to the Five Sisters of York, and was, in fact, an inquiry whether he could inform him how much per annum the Yorkshire convents got in those days with their boarders. The journey was then resumed. Nicholas fell asleep towards morning, and, when he awoke, found, with great regret, that, during his nap, both the Baron of Grogzwig and the gray-haired gentleman had got down and were gone. The day dragged on uncomfortably enough. At about 6 o'clock that night, he and Mr. Squeers, and the little boys, and their united luggage, were all put down together at the George and New Inn, Greta Bridge. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.